The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a two-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Good morning and welcome to our show today on Bread for the Journey Radio, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. You know, this radio show grew out of our nonprofit organization, Bread for the Journey International, whose vision is to nurture the seed of generosity in every human heart. It's kind of a big order. The primary way we do that is to help small groups of people in cities all around the country form small groups that serve people in their communities by offering micro grants to those people working to make the community more healthy, more just, more beautiful. We give grants to programs that make life better for elders, children, women. We give grants to those working to improve the environment, art programs. We support programs for those who are underserved. We've got chapters all over the country, 20 of them. For example, we've got them in Seattle, Orange County, California, Austin, Texas, Oakland, Detroit, Michigan, Berkeley, California. We've got a chapter in Kauai, Hawaii, Kalamazoo, Michigan, San Francisco, Santa Fe, New Mexico, Sebastopol, California, and a lot more. And we want to grow. So if you'd like to explore the idea of starting a chapter of Bread for the Journey, write to me at bfjradio@gmail.com and we'll begin a conversation and see if it's a good fit. One of the benefits of being part of Bread for the Journey is that we get to meet some of the kindest, most generous, compassionate, and creative people in the country. And the reason we started the radio show is to give you, our listeners, an opportunity to know them as well. At Bread for the Journey, we get to interact with a segment of society who I believe have come to really know what comprises a life well lived. They have come to a place where they understand that service to others brings a kind of satisfaction that can't be found any other way. No amount of satisfying our personal desires to benefit ourselves ever comes close. And many of the people who fit into this category also ponder some of the larger questions of society. How do we create a larger society that serves the greatest good for all? So for the next several weeks, I'm going to be interviewing people who have started businesses that include social good in their vision of success, people who are balancing profits with service, people who are working to make America the kind of place we can be proud of. Not just because we're a land of opportunity for all, but for the way in which we value the health and welfare of people, animals, and the earth. I believe America is still an experiment, and the people I'll be interviewing this season are on the forefront of making this an experiment that will one day be called a holistic success. And today I'll be interviewing J. Cohen Gilbert, who's at the forefront of this effort. He co-founded a nonprofit organization called B-Lab, which emphatically believes in the power of business to solve social and environmental problems. Jay's vision is simple but ambitious: to redefine success in business. What would success look like? Individuals having greater economic opportunity, society moving closer to a positive environmental footprint, more people being employed in great places to work, and stronger communities at home and across the world. B-Lab created a system that certifies a new kind of corporation called B-Corporations or Benefit Corporations. We'll learn more about that, but as I understand it, the responsibilities of a benefit corporation include the consideration of all stakeholders. And they have to meet certain standards of social and environmental performance in the same way that organic farmers have to meet organic standards or LEED certified builders have to meet green building standards. They launched their new system called the GEARS Rating and Analytics, and I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'll learn that in a minute, at the Clinton Global Initiative in September 2011. And today there are more than 500 certified B Corporations from over 60 industries. So good morning, Jay, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Great. I want to dive into the work you're doing at B Lab, but first, because here we at Bread for the Journey highlight ordinary people doing extraordinary things, and because our vision is to inspire people to work toward the realization of a life well lived. I'd like you to begin by telling us a little bit about your life and the experiences that led you to this endeavor.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I don't think my experience is that different than most, at least most folks that I've met, which is we tend to be most inspired for good or for ill by our parents. And my parents are both entrepreneurs. They both ran their own businesses. My mom was in the executive search business, headhunter, and my dad was an architect doing mostly corporate interiors work, and both in New York City. And so I grew up with sort of an entrepreneurial gene, and they were both in very different ways used their businesses as a platform to do something more important than just make money. My mom ran a firm called Gilbert Tweed Associates that was the largest sort of women or minority-owned search firm in the country in a very old boy business. She was a woman and came of age in that business through the 70s and early 80s and was always looking for ways to create career paths for women like herself. Whether that was through her own business as partners or in the placements that she'd make at large Fortune 500 companies, you know, across the country. And my dad, as an architect, got very inspired in the late 70s and really when Reagan got into office in 1980 to follow the lead of other professions like the physicians and doctors who formed professional groups called Physicians for Social Responsibility and other things like that. And he founded an organization called Architects for Social Responsibility that was, if you remember back in the, you know, in the 80s, it was all about the evil empire and the containment of communism and things like that and mm-hmm. nuclear issues. And so he had lamented growing up that he basically sat on the sidelines during the Civil Rights Movement, which he was always at some level pretty ashamed of in the 60s, and vowed to not do that again when he saw another issue that he thought could sort of threaten, you know, the very sort of moral fabric or security for his kids or grandkids. And mm-hmm. so he used his platform as a business leader to rally his profession around what he thought at the time was a really huge issue, which was the issue of nuclear disarmament. And it was quite successful, and when he was very ill at the end of his life, he felt that the 10 years that he spent building that organization were far and away the most important time of his life, where he felt the most fully used. And I think, as you described in your opening, that a life of fulfillment is usually one of service to something greater than yourself. And so I think whether it was through my mom's example around women and minorities in business, or my father's example of trying to use his platform for a much larger global issue to make the world safer for his kids. I think I was inspired by both of them to try to carry that energy into what I do.
Mm-hmm. It is true that our parents influence us in so many profound ways. What a great growing up experience you had with your parents. It sounds like a beautiful relationship.
Like every relationship, it had plenty of beauty and it had plenty of issues, you know. And often we learn as you know, we learn both what to do, you know, things that we admire and want to emulate, and we learn plenty of things that we, you know, don't want to emulate, and we tend to go in the opposite direction. My parents were no different than that either. You know, they were normal human beings, and so there's plenty of characteristics about them that, you know, where I've learned through their example, you know, of different ways to behave as well. So, no one's perfect, and my parents or myself are no exception.
Right. It gives us pause when we begin to look at our own children, doesn't it?
Indeed. Indeed, and I think mostly it makes me think of that, you know, it's much more important what we do than what we say.
Yeah, it's so true. It's really so true. So, did you bring this sensibility with you in the creation of And One and the process of the time that you were there?
Yeah, great question. So I did, and one of the other things that I learned from my folks was that none of us are really capable of doing anything particularly meaningful on our own, and that you really need partners to do anything successfully. And One was a basketball footwear and apparel company, and so very rooted in sort of team sports culture. And one of our mantras at And One was the best team wins. I've been blessed both at And One and now at B-Lab to be working with great friends who are way more talented than I am, and we have luckily pretty complementary skill sets. And so, whatever had happened at And One and whatever is happening or does happen at B-Lab is certainly not through my efforts alone. You know, I'm one member of a team. I have my own particular strengths and talents and weaknesses and foibles, but hopefully we all together have better vision than any one of us individually. Mm-hmm. And at And One, you know, from the get-go, we'd always wanted to be a company that we would be proud to work at. And it doesn't have to be much more complicated than that. You know, you'd want to, as long as you were taking the trouble to work 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, you know, 400 days a year, you might as well do it with people you liked and to create an environment that would be fun to be at. Mm-hmm. And so we did. And so we had a wonderful corporate culture. There was plenty of economic opportunity and ownership opportunity that was spread around the organization, you know, great benefits. We viewed our business partners as part of our extended family. And so it wasn't just about creating, you know, employee ownership, but also when we looked at our suppliers, from our agents over in our overseas factories or the workers in overseas factories, even though our brand didn't have a swoosh on it, you know, the Nike symbol, and therefore we didn't have like a target on our center of our chest among people that cared about sort of overseas factory conditions, it was important to us. And that, you know, if you're a type A personality, you want to be the best. And if that means treating your people the best, including, you know, the 10,000 young women that are working on building the shoes and stitching the apparel for American consumers, then you want to treat them well too. And so we were always very attentive to our factory relationships and the quality of the working conditions and pay and environmental conditions in the factories. And we were always also pretty philanthropic. And so from the get-go, we gave 5% of our profits to charity, to local youth and education organizations. And that only grew over time. And so, you know, it was as if not a more proud day at And One when we called everybody together on our basketball court. That was our big fun treat when we grew, we got to have a company that had a full court in it.
That's great.
And where we hold our all company meetings. And so the day when we were able to give away our $1 millionth in actual philanthropy to support youth and education, in Philadelphia and across the country was as important as the day when we crossed $100 million in sales.
So
I think that there was certainly a ton that we did at AM1 that we're, you know, very proud of, and I think the people that work there think of it as one of their, you know, one of their most rewarding work experiences. But that being said, there was plenty of things that in retrospect we didn't do, you know, both as business people that, you know, a little older, a little wiser, we would have done differently. But then also as sort of as business people that are trying to be conscious of using the business as a tool to address social or environmental problems, we weren't particularly focused on the environment there. It was a very people-centered organization. And, you know, we were pretty lucky if there were blue buckets under our desks, you know. But there wasn't much more of an environmental consciousness at AN1 than that. And, you know, as a business in the sort of the mid to late 90s, we were probably par for the course with the consciousness around that in American business generally. But In retrospect, we probably could have done more on the environmental front than we did.
Well, we all grow, don't we, along the way, and we become more conscious and awake and aware. And well, just the fact that you were able to pay close attention to the working conditions of people who worked in your factories is actually kind of a big thing. I mean, look at what we're all, you know, the big news right now about the factory conditions for the organizations that are building our smartphones in China. And, you know, I mean, I sent emails out to a lot of people to sign petitions through change.org. And you know, and I actually began talking to people, just regular, ordinary people who I knew were carrying iPhones, and said, would you have been willing to wait another month or two even?
Right.
To get your iPhone, if you had known that people were working 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that people working in these factories are committing suicide because of the working conditions. And, you know, everybody said yes, absolutely. I mean, I don't know, you know, even if anybody wanted to admit it, they would have said no. But it really was a matter of awareness, because everybody I talked to, you know, hadn't been aware of the situation.
Right. I mean, The issue around working conditions, sweatshops, and things like that overseas is quite a bit more complicated than sort of the popular press tends to make it out. But I think that you're correct in saying that when folks have full information, they can make more informed decisions.
That's right.
And in the absence of more complete information, and in the absence of a culture that seems accepting of a higher purpose than profit.
Right.
It's easy to fall back on, hey, this is the purpose of business. And
right.
Milton Friedman was right, you know, and the patron saint of the free market says that the social responsibility of business is to increase profits, and that's what we're doing. And, you know, don't blame us. It's just the rules of the game. And so I think that the issues are more complicated, but there is also a fundamental truth that ultimately, we're all responsible for our actions, whether it's as a business person or as an employee or as a consumer or as an investor.
Right, and we have to take a break here in a moment, and we'll come back and continue talking about this. To all of our listeners, please stay with us. We're talking to Jay Cohen-Gilbert of B-Lab, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Looking forward to it.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for us at keyword Voice America.
If you're a golf enthusiast and looking for some great golf properties in the desert Southwest, you'll want to make the Golf Realty Network your weekly stop. Hosted by Jane and Al Anderson, the Golf Realty Network is all about living where you play, on the golf side. You'll hear from the course pros and vendors, while the real estate side will bring you the top agents and brokers who know how to market or find your golf community home. Tune in to the Golf Realty Network, Wednesdays at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety, and rebroadcast weekly on Voice America Sports.
Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things. And together, you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite, live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we are talking to J. Cohen Gilbert of B Labs, a nonprofit organization that is certifying businesses to become more socially conscious, in a sense, through a vehicle called B Corporations. So maybe we should just dive right in at this point and learn a little bit about what a B Corporation or a benefit corporation is.
Sure. Well, firstly, is they're two different things. A certified B Corp and a benefit corporation are related, and they're often confused, understandably confused. So maybe I could just take a second and explain what a certified B Corp is, and then if we want to come back to the benefit corp thing, we can.
Okay, great.
Sure. So a certified B corporation helps consumers distinguish a good company from just a good marketing campaign, in the same way that a LEED certification helps identify a green building,
right,
or a fair trade coffee identifies coffee beans that have been purchased with an attention to the working conditions and economic justice issues around, you know, for small family coffee farmers in emerging markets. And so there are hundreds of different certifications in the world, but there's only, until the B Corp certification, there was no certification that actually looked at the whole company. They just looked at individual areas of the business's practices, like what kind of building it was in, or where the beans came from, or whether your appliance meets certain Energy Star energy efficiency metrics, but nothing that looked at the whole company, because it's nice to know that your business works in a LEED certified building, but that doesn't really tell me anything about how the people inside the building are being treated,
mm-hmm.
or about how beneficial or harmful the products are that are being shipped out the front door.
Mm-hmm.
Or how harmful polluting the waste streams might be that are being dumped out the back door.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sort of a useful first step. But what B Corp certification does is it sort of widens the aperture on our lens so we can look at the whole company, you know, mm-hmm. and because we're all whole people. And so we want to be able to support the whole company and understand mm-hmm. the company that stands behind the products.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we started a nonprofit organization called B-Lab about 5.5 years ago, whose core mission is to use business as a tool to help solve social and environmental problems. And one of the three things that we do is sort of build and support this community of B-corporations. And these B-corporations are certified, and when you see that certified B-Corp logo, whether it's on a bag of King Arthur flour or on the door of New Resource Bank as you walk in, or on the menu of Bamboo Sushi restaurant up in Portland, you would say, that's the kind of business I want to support. And you'd know that because you'd know an independent third party has done all the heavy lifting to verify the good environmental practices, worker practices, supplier issues, and community issues associated with that company. And you know this company has reached a very high level of social and environmental performance. The other thing that really distinguishes the B Corps is not only their performance, but they've actually all made a legal change that really gets at the heart of the current capitalist system. A lot of people don't know that corporate law in the United States basically operates around one core rule, which is that the purpose of the business is to maximize the returns to the shareholders, you know, or the investors. And anything else that the everything that the company does has to serve that one single purpose. Even if in serving that purpose, you do things that aren't really particularly great for the workforce or that aren't particularly great for the environment, because you're doing it in the service of profit, which is ultimately the only legally recognized legitimate purpose of the business.
Right.
E-corporations have sort of flipped that on its head and have said, in addition to meeting higher standards of performance, they have also amended their bylaws so that they are required to take into consideration the impact of their decisions, not only on their shareholders, but also on society in general.
Hmm.
And so it's really getting at the core systemic problem around the sort of the negative impacts that corporations can have on people and the planet. And
right.
So in just the 5 or so years that we've offered this certification, there are now well over 500 companies across, you know, 60 or 70 industries across North America that have become certified B Corporations and have met those higher standards of performance and accountability and transparency. And the difference between that and the Benefit Corp corporation that you mentioned is that the B Corporation is a certification that's conferred by a nonprofit called B Lab. And
mm-hmm.
the Benefit Corporation is an actual legal designation, right? It's legislation that's been passed so far in 7 states and moving forward in another 7 as we speak to create formal legal recognition for a new type of corporation that meets higher standards of purpose, accountability, and transparency. And so the community of certified B Corporations, those 500 companies, have become a very effective political constituency to get laws passed that give entrepreneurs and investors just a better choice when they're looking to create a company that has a higher purpose than profit.
Right.
And so the legal changes that all those certified B Corps have to make are now being institutionalized into law to make it easier for not just the next 500, but for the next 500,000 companies to have the opportunity to choose a different path when they build their business, a path that would have them not only competing in the marketplace to be the best in the world, but competing in a new marketplace to be the best for the world. And
right.
that's really power, and what to me is the most inspiring thing about this community is that they are competing to be the best for the world, the best for all of us, not just the best for themselves.
So beautiful. Really beautiful. If there's a corporation that's already existing under current corporate law and they decide they want to become a B Corp, do they have to sort of undo all of their corporate foundational base and redo that to become a B Corporation?
Great question. So no, the 500 and some odd certified B Corporations are all different types of existing entities. So it could be what's called a traditional C Corp or an S Corp, which are just sort of tax statuses. They could be a limited liability company,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, an LLC. They can be partnerships, sole proprietorships, etc. Mm-hmm. And so the certification basically overlays on top of your existing corporate structure
mm-hmm.
some language that you use to amend your bylaws that expands the what's called the fiduciary duty, right, or the duties of your directors to have that broader set of considerations than just shareholders. And
mm-hmm.
so you can do that in any state in the country, and you can do that no matter what your current corporate form is. The actual legislation is for corporations, not for LLCs, and that legislation, as I said, has only been passed in 7 states. And so
mm-hmm.
it's a little bit higher threshold on the legal protection and a little bit more rigorous standards on the transparency, but it's basically taking the core provisions for the certification and institutionalizing them in law and allowing anybody to do that, whether or not they ever choose to be certified. Right? It's really institutionalizing this behavior and making it available on a much more broad basis than just as a certification.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about the certification process for an organization that wants to become a B Corporation.
Sure. It's pretty straightforward. The companies have to do two things. They have to meet the performance standards, and they have to amend their bylaws to meet the legal requirements. The performance standards are, there's something called the B Impact Assessment, which is a web-based survey that asks between sort of 50 and let's call it 150 questions about the employee practices, the supplier, the supply chain, local community engagement or environmental practices of a company. And then the answers to all those questions get aggregated into a score. And the range of scores is sort of 0 to 200. And a company that earns a score above an 80 is eligible for certification. And they can earn those points in any number of areas, right? Whether you're have a broad ESOP plan, and you do a lot of employee ownership things in your organization, or whether you make incredibly green, sustainable products, or whether you're incredibly charitable. The idea is that entrepreneurs are motivated by lots of different things, mm-hmm. and how do you create a marketplace that honors each of those individual entrepreneurial energies, but also uses a common yardstick to measure mm-hmm. the good that they're creating, and just mm-hmm. says, hey, we're going to draw a line and say, everybody above this line, 80 points, is deserving of recognition as having really gone above and beyond in their efforts to create a better world through business. So if you do that, and there's a whole assurance process and audits and things like that to make sure that it's got integrity to it. And anybody who does that then has to do that second step, which we talked about earlier, which is amending their corporate governing documents, mostly their bylaws, mm-hmm. to include language that says, we are voluntarily accepting a higher standard of accountability, where we are requiring ourselves by law to consider the impact of our decisions, not only on the financial returns to our shareholders, but also on, let's call it, the social returns to society from our actions. And if companies do both of those things, then they're eligible for certification. And so both the impact assessment and the legal framework are available on the website, bcorporation.net, and folks can use that assessment for free. There's over 6,000 companies that are using it as a free and pretty useful management tool mm-hmm. to assess and benchmark their performance, and there's even a bunch of embedded best practices, sort of tools and resources in there to help people improve their performance or learn mm-hmm. about things that they might not have known before. Mm-hmm. And then all the work that's been donated to us by attorneys across the country to create that legal that new legal framework, again, companies can use that whether or not they ever decide to be certified. And so mm-hmm. as a nonprofit, we want to encourage all companies to walk that path, right? We're all on a journey to more sustainability. And wherever we are, we meet them where they are in the journey. And if they'd like to use those tools for free, they should have at it. And if they think that there's some value to them or to society from them joining the community of certified B Corps, then we're thrilled to invite them to join. And we have small sole proprietor consulting companies, two large companies like Patagonia that people might have heard of, or Method Home Products, or Seventh Generation, that are more consumer-facing brands that people tend to hear of and associate with strong environmental performance.
Right. One of the things that you talked about was that I read about on your website was that one of the standards is this is a great place for employees to work. Do employees mm-hmm. get to have their voice heard in this certification process? And do you ask employees what it's like to work at this place?
Right. That's a great question. There are probably two places that comes into play. Or maybe three. The first is there are questions in the assessment around sort of management-employee relations and whether companies, do sort of employee engagement surveys and things like that, as well as all the you know, maybe there's 30 questions specifically around comp and benefits and flex time and ownership opportunities and, you know, professional development opportunities, all of those kinds of things. So the first thing is that hopefully we have, we're asking the right questions.
Right.
The second thing is those standards evolve over time. We don't presume that the standards are the best. We just think that they're probably the best that exist today. And we're already on version 3.0 of that assessment, and there's an independent standards council that oversees the continuous sort of improvement of those standards, and they're already working on version 4.0, because the only thing we know about it is that it's imperfect. And that independent standards council has folks on it that are experts in sort of employee engagement issues. And so they are there to help ensure that we're asking the right questions. Lastly, and arguably most importantly, is on the assurance process that I mentioned before, is there are every year B Corps are selected randomly for an on-site audit. And during your two-year certification term, one out of every five B Corps will be selected for an on-site audit. No different than a financial audit, except in this case,
right,
it's about your social and environmental performance, where somebody actually shows up at your offices for an afternoon or 2 days or however long it takes to make sure that all the questions that you answered, that there's backup for it and documentation, all the rest. And one of the things that takes place on every audit is a series of employee interviews, so that there's an opportunity for the folks who didn't actually complete the assessment, you know, typically, and we're typically interviewing folks that are not in management or executive positions, for them to say, hey, you know, here's how the questions were answered. Tell us if that's your experience. And then also, is there anything else that you'd want to share in a more open-ended way about what it's like to work at this company, and in the with the objective of giving folks an opportunity to say, hey, you know what, I don't think you're capturing this issue, or they might talk about this a lot, but in reality, it's quite different. And so it's a way for employees to raise yellow flags for us. And then the last thing is everybody's B impact report. All those B Corps, so all 500 some of them, are all transparent, right? They're all up on bcorporation.net. Anybody can see them. And there's an opportunity for anybody from the general public to offer comments or feedback on any of those B Corporations. So there's another sort of web-enabled, much more public-facing opportunity for people to give feedback, whether they're an employee or a consumer or a supplier,
right,
to say, hey, I think
I'd love to talk about
off.
That. I'd yeah. love to talk about that when we come back. We're going to take a break here, and we're talking to our listeners. We're talking to Jay Coe and Gilbert from an organization called B-Lab, which believes in the power of business to solve social and environmental problems. This has been a great conversation. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Are you an entrepreneur that wants to achieve more? Not just in it for profit, but to do work you find meaningful that adds more value to more people in more ways? Listen for Be More, Achieve More, Inspiration for the Entrepreneurial Mind with host Chris Cooper. You'll hear from successful achievers from around the world with the passion and experience to offer invaluable guidance. These people are making a difference and will help give you the motivation and insight to achieve more. Be More, Achieve More can be heard live Fridays at 8 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Do you feel as if your life is just filled with random awkward moments? Believe me, you're not alone. Tune in every Friday for TAG, the Awkward Girl Guide, with your host, Ashley Iola. Ashley has learned to own her awkward, and she guides you how to do the same. It's awkward, but it can be a lot of fun, too. We'll talk about relationships, sports, food, health, family life, and social life. Each show hopes to make you a bit more in control of your awkward. Tune in to TAG, the Awkward Girl Guide, Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we're here talking to J. Cohen Gilbert, who's at the forefront of an effort to certify businesses who want to solve social and environmental problems as part of that business. We as a nation, I think, are becoming a people that are more conscious and awake and aware, and I think in businesses we used to say we want to be best in the world, and what Jay talked about earlier was sort of shifting that a bit so that we can say that we're best for the world. So we were talking when we wrapped up about employees being able to have a way in which they can rate the organizations that they work for, and that any consumer could actually go to the website and comment on this as well. And I just want to say, I was at the, I was buying a printer the other day, and there I was at the store, and you know, I had an Epson in front of me, and a Brother, and an HP, and or many of each of them, and I'm reading all the tags, and you know, after a while, they all kind of blend together, but you get a sense of what you want, and then you know, the choice was, you know, the prices were similar, the features were similar, and at one point, I thought, you know, I've made a commitment to vote with my pocketbook, but how do I mean, I suppose I could go home and go to my website and go to the website and start searching these organizations, but how would I find out if an organization, if one organization over another is a good corporate citizen? Can you talk a little bit about where you might be going in the future to make that, you know, possible for those of us standing in the store with our smartphones in our hand?
Sure. It's a great question. And I think that the core of the B Corp movement is really about putting more power in the hands of all of us as individuals, whether that be as consumers, but also, you know, we all have a choice about where we work, right? So we all have talent and energy to bring to organizations, and we want to bring it to organizations that are doing the best for our communities, not just the best for themselves. And then lastly, you know, many of your listeners, you know, might have a 401k plan or some money that is in a bank, you know, for their checking or savings account, and the decisions about where we put our money or how we invest our money are also pretty important. And so I think at each of those, in each, whenever we wear each one of those three hats, consumer, investor, employee, we can make decisions to support better companies. And so, you know, I'll get to the smartphone thing in a sec, but like as an example, we all go to work every day, at least most of us go to work every day, and leadership can come from any place in the organization, not just the sort of corner office where the CEO sits. And so if you work at an organization, big or small, and you want to see them be more conscious about where they purchase their, you know, who they work with as for their vendors and suppliers, or what customers they go after, or how they treat the employees, like your voice is pretty important, because most CEOs will tell you that the most important asset is their employees, and if their employees decide that they're going to vote with their feet by going to work for places that they think better reflect their values, then companies are going to change their behavior because they're trying to compete for talent, not just compete for customers.
Right.
So I wouldn't overlook that one of our most important things we can do is to change where we work, not just where we purchase. And then the other piece is on the investor side. Like there's over $60 trillion worth of investment capital in the United States, and that's all of our money. And so where we choose to invest our dollars, or even just where we choose to open a bank account, can have a huge impact. Whether it's with a local credit union, or a community bank, or one of the new green banks, like a new resource bank in California, or a Sunrise Community Bank up in Minneapolis. There are banks who, through their lending practices, are making conscious decisions about the types of organizations that they support and the kinds of organizations they want to grow in those communities. And whether we put our money there or with some other bank makes a big difference. And then lastly, but certainly not least, is the point that you brought up, Mariana, which is about us as consumers. You know, almost 70% of the U.S. economy is driven by consumer spending. So we have an awful lot of power in our pocketbooks.
We do.
And for sure, what I'd say is that, you know, the most important thing is, you know, let's support companies whose whole company is structured in such a way to create better social and environmental outcomes, and those are B Corps. And there's only, you know, it sounds like 500 or so is a lot, but 500 is obviously just a tiny number of companies. All of them are visible on bcorporation.net, and there's a pretty robust search function. And so whether you live in Wichita or Washington, you can search by what location you're in or by what type of product you're looking for or even by what type of impact you're trying to seek, right? Whether you're looking for companies that address poverty or companies that are focused on local sustainable food systems or companies that are better for the environment, you can do a pretty robust search there. But if you don't find something you're looking for, which may happen, there's a really great tool it's an app for your smartphone that's put out by a company called Good Guide. And Good Guide, they themselves are a B Corp, and they've created an app that allows you to sort of scan the barcode of many products on the shelves of department stores and grocery stores and other retailers and find out overall, mostly product ratings about those products and how they compare against others in that category, whether it be about shampoo or soda. But they tend to be more grocery driven than sort of large consumer, you know, durable goods. And they do a great job. Again, it's a little bit more product focused than company focused, meaning toxins in the detergent or ingredients in the cake mix or something like that, as opposed to the company that stands behind it. But it's a great place to start. It also is pretty useful because while all B corporations to date are smaller and privately held companies, like Patagonia or Method or Seventh Gen or Numi Organic Teas, most of the companies that we see in the stores every day are large public companies or brands that are the brands that are being sold by those large companies like P&G and Coke and all the rest. And so since those are mostly what's available on the shelves, just looking on the B Corporation site isn't really going to help you, you know. And so using Good Guide for those, I think, can be a really powerful tool because at least it says, okay, of the choices I have today, I'm standing here in this aisle, what's the best choice I can make? And I think Good Guide can help you do that. And a slightly higher order of thinking would be, okay, before I go out to make a purchase, let me find out if there are any B Corps that sell that product, or if I'm looking for a birthday gift for my niece, let me look among the 500 or so certified B Corps and see if there's anything, you know, cool that she'd like. And let that drive you, as opposed to just sort of ending up in an aisle somewhere and saying, okay, based upon the choice I have, what do I do? Often, just because the way the economy works, often the best choices for the world don't end up as the most available choices for us in the aisle.
If you wait till that point,
you could be a little bit constrained.
Right. Yeah. I wish I had done that the day I was looking for a printer. This has been such an enlightening. Did you think an enlightening interview? Thanks so much. I've learned a lot.
Pleasure.
Do you think there will be a day when you create something like an app for B corporations, a quick sort of guide?
For sure. I think that it's a matter of critical mass. So there's already sort of an ad campaign out there. There's an incredible B Corp called Ogden Publications. They own, if you shop in a Whole Foods or something like that, or a natural health food store, you know, most of the magazines in those stores are titles from Ogden Publications.
Mm-hmm.
And they have donated a ton of ad space to B-Lab to run an ad campaign whose headline is sort of Better Companies Make Better Products, and B-Corps mm-hmm. are better companies. And you can see, you know, B-Corps for your kitchen or for your kids or out in the garage or for, you know, Saturday morning sports or whatever it is. And you can see sort of, you know, in my daily life, how do I support these better companies? And eventually, when there's more like 5,000 B-Corps and not 500, it'll make a ton of sense to have, you know, a smartphone app that you can sort of wave down an aisle and it
right.
can pop up for you. Or just sort of as you approach the store or enter the mall, it can, through GPS location, you know, sort of say, okay, great, you're here. Here are all the B-Corps that are at this, that are in this mall, and it could give you even a map, right? And saying,
oh,
if you're going shopping, you know, here's your sort of pushed out holiday shopping guide, B-Corp holiday shopping guide. I think that stuff's coming. But for that to be useful, there have to be, you know, more companies in the community than there are today.
Right. We have to wrap up in a couple of minutes, and I just have a question for you if I'm actually out there in the stores. You talked about several different products. Do they have a particular, what am I looking for when I'm looking for a B Corp label?
Uh-huh. Yeah, great. So if you go to bcorporation.net, you'll see the logo, and it's basically, if you know a capital letter in a circle, like for a circle C for a copyright, or R for a
right.
registered trademark, or UL for Underwriters Laboratories on the bottom of your toaster or something, the same thing will be a circle B, and the word certified on top and the word corporation underneath. It'll say certified B Corporation, and there'll be sort of a thick line underneath the word corporation. That's sort of the basic logo seal for certified B Corps. And what's pretty cool is you've got now over 500 companies across 60 industries that represent, you know, a multi-billion dollar marketplace from, you know, your local green builder to a restaurant, to a bank, to a series of products at your local coffee shop or grocer. And all of them will be displaying that B Corp logo, so you're able to see it on not just in sort of the natural foods aisle of your grocer, but across a whole array of products that you can use not only in your home but also at work, right? There are, you mentioned printers, right? There's a ton of B Corp printing companies and paper companies and office supply companies like Give Something Back office products. So back to the point about, we're not just consumers. We don't just walk around spending money all day. We also spend a lot of time at work. And most of our offices have, you know, paper to print on and computers that we buy, and we use IT services and we use marketing services mm-hmm. and we have a bank and we have accountants and lawyers and all of those, in all of those professions and all of those industries, there are options to work with a certified B Corp.
Well, I wish you great success with this, and I'm going to be looking for this label everywhere I go now, and I hope everybody who's listening and who listens to the archive copies of the show in the future will be doing the same. Thank you so much, Jay. I appreciate the time that you took to be with us today.
Thank you so much, Marianne. It's been a pleasure.
Very great. And finally, to our listeners, our small nonprofit, Bread for the Journey, asks for your help. We could sure use contributions if you feel so moved in your heart to make a donation to Bread for the Journey. You can find us on our website at breadforthejourney.org. And we believe that if everyone pitches in a little bit or a lot, we can change the world. I thank you so much. And I close with, may all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free. See you next week.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Oh. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.